of Satan and all his hordes of demons and devils. Don't be fearful of them. You need to fear me. And not in a fearful sense is where we're scared of God, but in a reverence type of fear, where we understand what he's saying and we know what he's saying and we know how powerful and how mighty he is, that he can do everything he say. That's the type of fear he's talking about for us. Not scared, saints of God. Don't get it twisted. Not scared. In Psalms, you know, God wants us to know that he can. He's the only one that can kill our body and our soul. He's the only one. Satan can't do it. A gazillion demons can't do it. Only God can do this.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual One Man Broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bear. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bear. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bear or 5, 8,
but when we put it all together, this is what we like to call you, Jesus.
Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
From the book of Acts, chapter 12, if you will. And I want to commence reading at verse 20. Acts, chapter 12, beginning at verse 20. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms. I want to speak from the subject, make no mistake about it, God's got the last word. Sisters, this is encouraging for the believer, for the child of throughout our problems and throughout our experiences, how God allows some things to happen in our lives, what the devil has designed and developed for evil, God has the power to turn it out for our good. This is a classic case of that example, and when we look at the text and recognize why Herod is upset and highly torturing and tormenting the people who were called the children are the people of the way, meaning Christians or those who followed after Christ. If you begin in this word at the first verse, if you begin there, you will see that the story says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched of the church. It was his desire. He was already geared up, purposed, and planned to vex, to bring into action. Was something that he himself could use to his advantage. And so to do this, he had purposed in his heart he was going to mess with church folk. Now listen at this, because the word says in verse 2, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. But look at what verse 3 says. And because he saw it pleased who?
The Jews.
The Jews. He proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him. That was 16 soldiers, four groups of four men to watch one man, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. He had made a spectacle of Christians, tormenting them, torturing them, and then ultimately killing them, because he saw again that it brought some kind of sick joy to those who were again part of his kingdom, but who were not really for his kingdom, speaking of the Jews. And so this was his desire to keep peace by pitting one against the other. And the greater number, which were the Jews, were the people that he was trying to satisfy. Oh, my brothers and sisters, don't let the crowds fool you. Don't let the numbers dictate who you are loyal to and who your allegiance to. He wanted to satisfy the greatest number, but he didn't know that they did not have the greatest authority. He wanted to get the people who seemingly were the ones who could have caused him more trouble, but he picked on a group of people who had given their heart and their lives, their allegiance, and all of the essence of who they were to a man called Jesus, and they were not ashamed to stand in the authority of that word, being led now by the Spirit of the Lord, doing great exploits in the name of Jesus Christ. They are now making such a difference that the king, along with the Jews, are trying to silence them and then ultimately destroys them. And so when they take Peter, after having taken James and killed him, and in verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison.
Yes,
but prayer, somebody say prayer.
Prayer
was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. When the word came out, man, they've killed James. And now the word is that they've got Peter locked in jail. And after Easter, they're planning to kill Peter also. Somebody don't know who it was, said, listen, it's prayer time. The old folk used to say, I want the praying part of the church. I wish I had a witness here. I think we need to form a prayer chain, a 24-hour prayer chain. Somebody ought to always be praying until God brings this situation to a wonderful resolve, meaning Peter being set free and Herod not being able to call or follow through with the commandment that he had given. So the church went into prayer. Let's look at the story, my brothers and sisters, because I do believe you got some folks. And he's able, but they're not sure that their faith aligns enough with him to do it in their life. I got to pause right there. P-
Peter is put in jail, and he knows the plans of Herod are to kill him and others like him. And the plan is that after Easter celebration is over, he's going to throw a big party, and Peter is going to be the one that they're going to celebrate his death. And so he knows this, and he's in prison, but he is not upset. The record is he was in prison sleeping. Can I tell you, when you got the peace of God with you, you can sleep anywhere. I hear some folks say, I can't sleep in the car. I can't sleep on the plane. I can't sleep. But I gotta tell you, when you got the peace of God in your life, you can sleep in the midst of some hellions all around you. Peter was in prison sleep. Listen, look at his faith in God. Peter no doubt had already prayed and put it in the hands of the Lord and said, Lord, since you're going to be up all night, ain't no sense in me staying up. I'm going to go to sleep. I know you're going to handle this. He ain't worried about nothing. He's asleep. Look at the text. The Bible says Peter was sleeping. I-N-G. All night long. Sleeping. Between two. That must have been an uncomfortable place. Because he's not stretched out by himself. One guard is chained on this arm, another guard is chained on this arm, but Peter there. Knocked out between both of them. Now listen at this word, because I want you to see this. The Bible says simply, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, and he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. Now, the record was Peter was sleeping, didn't say nothing about the guards at that time. But it's clear when God sent the angel to release Peter, the angel had undoubtedly put them in a supernatural sleep. And he releases the chains off of Peter immediately. And he's having a conversation with Peter, and nobody hears him but Peter. They should have heard the chains fall off. I mean, if they're going to take a nap, it should have been a cat nap. Every movement of the chain should have made one of them look over at and see what's going on here. And here the angel walks in and has a conversation with Peter and tells him all of these things. And the two men are sitting there sleeping while the angel is directing Peter in that they are about to do. Look at what verse 9 says. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Peter's like, man, that's some good sleep. Man, you know, I'm dreaming that the angel done come here with all these 16 guards and just walk in here and just tell me to get on up, chains fall off me, tell me, put my sandals on, throw my clothes on, we about to get on up out of here. And I'm like, that's good. I don't believe this is true, but it's a good vision. And he finds out that it is real. Verse 10 says, when they were past the first and the second ward. Now listen, he wasn't out of harm's way when they walked out of the inner chambers of the prison. He had a little more to go, and he walks through all of them by the aid of the angel. Listen at this. The word says, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened it to them of his own accord. I keep telling y'all, all the stuff we got modern day follows after the word. Now you talk about an automatic gate. It's in the text right here. Look at what the word says. They came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened it to them of his own accord. I mean, it just senses, you know, when you go to these stores, now the doors just finds you in the sense of path, and when it finds you in the sense of path, it automatically just opens up. Listen, the gate didn't open until Peter got close enough to go out of it. And I'm trying to tell somebody something. I don't care what your situation is. You can hope, you can pray, you can think, you can feel. But until you get to the point where you walk by faith and know that God's going to do what he said he's going to do, he could not be delivered until he had gotten past the gate. And there were no guards at the gate. The gate was just locked. But here, when God tells you something and you believe God, he believed the angel. Notice he didn't ask the angel anything. He just followed the angel. And the angel led him to the gate, and the gate automatically opened to let him out, not to let him in. And listen at this word. Verse, again, 11 says, let me finish verse 10. When they were past the first and the second wall, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Now, the angel's assignment was simply to go into prison and get Peter out. He received his assignment from God. He said, I know for man this looked like a mission impossible, but you can do this. This is your assignment. You want to get Peter out of jail because I've been called on by the church to release him. So, angel, because the church folk are still praying, and they're not going to stop calling me till I let Peter go. So you get on down there tonight. While they were still praying, according to Jeremiah, God answered their prayer, sent the angel down, got Peter out. His assignment was not to bring him to the house. It was to get him out of jail. Once he got him out of jail, he said, all right, Pete, my mission is complete here. You know where to go. Peter goes on to the house where they are praying inside for him. Let's finish reading the text because I want you to see it in the word. The Bible says in verse 11, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety. Tomorrow this time I could have been dead, sleeping in my grave, but the Lord saw fit to save me. And he knew of a surety it was the angel of the Lord. Listen at the text. The Bible says when Peter got to that place, the angel departed from him, and he says with this declaration, I know of a surety that the Lord had sent his angel and had delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Can I tell you, can't nobody but the Lord save you? Can't nobody but the Lord deliver you? Can't nobody but the Lord foil the plan, spoil the plan, stop the plan of Satan that's already been issued against you. Don't you know when you woke up this morning, the angels of the enemy, the dark angels, had their assignment to mess you up, take you out, do something to you, but God sent some angels out. Only reason why you're still here and they have not overtaken your course is because God stepped in and spoiled what the enemy was trying to do. Don't you think it's been your good? My brothers and sisters, because I want you to see this word. The Bible says, verse 12, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together doing what? Praying. See, that comes a time when you don't need to meet, you need to pray. You want God to change some things you can't change. You need to get together as a body in Christ and pray a prayer to God that says, God, I know if anybody can, you can. And we're trusting you to make a difference. And they were praying. Listen at this. Believing God that he was going to deliver Peter and that he would not be killed by Herod like James was killed. And the Bible says this. Verse 13, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness. Now sometime you need to control your happiness. She got so happy, she left the man outside. Now, don't get that happy. Sometimes you don't need to get too happy because you mess up things. Listen at this word now. He was knocking at the door, and she left him outside for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." Exactly. Crazy. Taking leave of her senses. Temporarily insane. No, Peter is in jail, baby. We're praying for God to release him. He's not at the door. Okay, now she was so glad, listen at this now, that she appeared to be mad. You know how some of the people, when you can't tell whether they're laughing or crying? They break up. And you wondering if they're laughing or they're crying. You don't know whether to laugh or cry. We're like, what is going on with this? She had taken temporary leave of her senses, and that she knew they were praying for Peter, but that was not Peter at the door. They thought, again, she was mad. But notice what the word says. Now, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." It's a likeness of him. It's all right. Rhoda, let me tell you what's going on. God's going to do this thing. But he sent his angel to tell him that he's on the way. You know, it's amazing how church folk can come up with their own conclusions of how God works stuff out. It ain't really Peter, it's his angel. I ain't never heard nothing like that in all my days. Now listen to this, but what they were literally saying was, "I know it's going to happen because the angel is the one who was the forerunner to tell us, keep on praying, it's about to happen." And that was their attitude and their conviction about what the young woman had said. Notice again what the word says, and I like this, verse 16, "But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished." She kept on talking and Peter kept on knocking. And it wasn't until they heard the knock that they realized someone is outside the door. Now notice she heard Peter's voice. Peter was saying, "It's me." And so she didn't really see him and know him of that fact. And so she just knew his voice and left him outside and ran and told them. And now they come back because Peter is still knocking at the door. So they come in and they open the door and they are astonished. Now they're astonished with disbelief. But they were the ones just got through praying, "Lord, set Peter free. Deliver him. Don't let Herod kill him." They're praying the prayer. They see him and are astonished. My question to you is, why are you praying if you don't believe what you're praying is going to come true? You ought not be shocked when God answers your prayer if you're praying a faithful prayer. Oh, you may be astonished at how quick he answers your prayer, because Jeremiah said, "While you yet call him, he'll answer you." If you're going to be astonished about anything, it ought to be, "Lord, I didn't know you were going to come that quick. They hadn't even said amen." Y'all didn't get that, did you? Prayer meeting, Peter was still going on. They had not concluded the prayer, and God answered the prayer while they were yet praying. Have you ever had an experience while you were talking to the Lord? The Lord worked out your situation. The Lord answered your prayer. The Lord made it happen. The Lord opened that door. The Lord picked you up. The Lord delivered. Have you ever had that experience that he can come so quickly you don't even get to say amen? Listen. The word of the Lord says, "But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. How, who did it?
The Lord.
Listen, the Lord might use other entities, powers, personalities, but you can't give his glory to nobody else but the Lord. Delivered him out of, he might put you in contact with some people who's got some connections and work through the bureaucratic red tape, but it wasn't the person, it was God. You might go to some man and tell him about your problem, but God is the one with the favor and the grace who can touch other folk, who can touch other folk, who can touch other folk, who touch you, but you got to know it was nobody but the Lord. Peter is telling the story and he's giving God the glory for release. It wasn't the angel who did it on his own. He was on assignment from the Lord to get Peter free and out of prison. Oh, my brothers and sisters, listen to me, because God's sending an angel to some of you to get you out of the prison experience that you are in. Don't be amazed. Somebody's praying for you to get some deliverance in an area that you might be bound in right now. God is your deliverer. Listen at this word. Listen, listen. The Bible says, but he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. What was become of Peter? Every one of them started blaming the other one. The two guards on either side of them started saying, man, I told you I was going to close my eyes for a few minutes. You were supposed to keep yours open. Well, man, you slept longer than your time. I got sleepy. I don't know what happened then. And then the guards outside of the door, they then were talking about, well, even if he got loose inside, how did he get past you all? And then the other ones got past the second one. Well, how did he get past you all? And then the next one, how did he get past? Are y'all hearing me here? And so everybody started blaming everybody. Isn't it like that? God can move so supernaturally that you can't explain how he does what he does. All you know when it's all over with is God stepped in and did what only God could do. And they had no explanation for how Peter walked out of, he ain't run out of jail. I wish I had somebody here. He didn't disguise himself and got out of jail. Peter got up like a natural man and put on his clothes and his shoes, and an angel walked before him and Peter walked right behind him. He walked straight up out of jail by the power of God, and nobody could explain it.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT in Alexandria, 88.1. Jesus says in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Apostle Broadnax and the intercessory prayer team is ready to pray the prayer of faith for you. The Bible says in James